I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus' words from the last bit of our reading. It's bread. It's a symbol of life, right? Something that's necessary for life. It means nourishment to someone who is hungry. And Jesus talked here about bread and nourishment to people who sometimes, if not often, wondered where their next meal was going to come from. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So today, here are some facts about hunger. 1 in 9 people worldwide, that's close to 800 million people, don't have enough food to eat. That's not just 30 people or 100,000 people, which is a lot. It's 800 million people worldwide don't have enough food to eat. And hunger kills more people each year than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. Another one is the world produces enough food, more than enough food, for every person on earth to have 2,700 calories a day, which is beyond what is necessary. You know, that's gaining weight. So we have a problem not with food production, but with food distribution. We've got more than enough food in the world. In the U.S., there are close to 50 million people who live in food insecure households. That doesn't mean they don't have enough to eat. It means that they don't make enough to bring enough food home so that people can have enough, and then they have to get food from other sources. I don't know what that was. Something dropped. Was it in front of me? Okay. Is it all right? You want to check it and make sure? Okay. 33 million adults, 16 million children in food insecure households right here in the United States. Good news is the number of people living with hunger worldwide and in the United States all over has dropped by 17% over the last 20-ish years. So that's good. It's getting better. But it's still not okay. 800 million people hungry, 50 million people in the U.S. in food insecure households. There's a reason why we march in the parade and collect food beyond that it's fun to be in a parade with precision shopping carts drilling around. There's a reason that we collect food not just on the first of the month, and I hope that you brought food today, and if you didn't, that you'll bring it next week or during the week so that we can continue to stock the fish food pantry. There's a reason why we call it the fish food pantry, because of Jesus, the bread of life, who Jesus Christ, Son of God, ichthys, the fish is the symbol of Christianity. But there's also a reason why when we were marching in the parade, people didn't know what the fish food pantry was. Those of us sitting in the pews maybe have known about it for so long we forgot that not everybody does. Maybe we need to do much better publicity on helping to feed hungry people what the fish food pantry is, or if people aren't going to remember that name, just we're giving food to help feed people that don't have enough. Any one of us could be in a food insecure household at any time. So there's a reason that we do that, and it's to help people just like us who don't have enough food. People helping people, right? So yeah, things are getting better. And I also know that even though any one of us might be able to be or might be in a food insecure household at some time, hunger really isn't something that most of us deal with. Instead of getting hungry again and again, we're talking in the children's sermon about what we're hungry for lunch, and we want pancakes and eggs, and can you eat spaghetti for breakfast and all that stuff. We're a nation, really, that we're bent on diet and losing weight. How many of you have been on some sort of diet in the last year? I mean, not just a I-eat-everything diet, but something that is supposed to lose or manage weight. Anybody? has done stuff like that. No one wants to announce it. You've heard of some of these, right? Maybe raise your hand if you've heard of the DASH diet. No? That's a popular one. The Mayo Clinic diet? Yeah, okay. Weight Watchers? Got some more hands. The Mediterranean diet? Love that one. Good Mediterranean food. Jenny Craig? Yeah. The Flexitarian diet? That's a little more obscure one, but you can eat just about everything. Slim Fast? Tommy Lasorda, Los Angeles Dodgers coach. A shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner. You remember that commercial? No? This is from the 80s, I think. The Ducan diet. No? Okay, it's named after a guy. The HMR diet. These are all actual diets that are out there right now. If you wanted to go volumetrics, I don't even know what that is. I think it has something to do with how many portions of what you eat. The Hallelujah diet. It's true. Religious-based Hallelujah diet, a lot of raw and vegan food, and I don't know what else. The Paleo diet, that's actually a pretty popular one that's around right now. You eat everything that people in Paleolithic times would have eaten. How about the Bread for Life diet? There really is a Bread for Life diet, similar to the Hallelujah diet. No? And there's one more that I don't think any of you maybe have heard of or probably have participated in, the tapeworm diet. Anyone? That's a real thing. I don't think it's a real healthy thing or a real good thing, but there's a tapeworm diet. And with all the diets, all those diets, how are we living in a land not only of plenty but too much to eat and recognizing that there is hunger in our midst? But in general, all these diets and people trying to lose weight, how are we really supposed to understand a promise never to be hungry? On this planet where 1 in 9 people are hungry and so many people in the U.S. don't have enough, we're stuffed to the gills. It just doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus still says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And it's possible that the people of Jesus' time didn't get it either. He did remind them of how the people of Israel ate manna in the wilderness, dependent on it for their daily nourishment. They had just experienced the feeding of the 5,000. All they started with was those 5 loaves and those 2 fish. And maybe they weren't thinking about being hungry either. Maybe they were all stuffed. But I do know that even the fullest among us do experience hunger pangs. I mean, we get hungry. Our body tells us it's time to eat the next meal. We just know where it's coming from. We can open up the cupboard or go to the restaurants. Even in this diet-crazed society, we get a sensation that we need something to fill us up. So the people followed Jesus because they heard about the miracles. And Jesus was not really thrilled about that. As a matter of fact, you can sense the mood in here. He's a little bit miffed that they came not only because they understood what he did to be signs of God's presence, but rather that they could be satisfied by whatever Jesus did to fill them up. All you want is your fill of food? Go ahead, eat. But let me tell you something. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And to a person who hadn't had a meal in a long time and who doesn't or didn't know when the next meal would come from, those words have power. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. I don't know that we can experience the power of those words because we really don't experience hunger like that. But I wonder if we could get a little taste of the kind of joy someone might experience in learning that their days of extreme starvation were over. We're going to do a little experiment here. It has to do with breathing. We're all familiar with breathing? Yes? Good. So when I say so, I want you to breathe out fully, all the way. Not yet. Just this is the instruction part. And then pause for a few seconds and pause maybe for a few more if you can or if it feels safe. Just you try to pause without breathing in for 10 or maybe even 20 seconds. And when you know it's necessary, then breathe in. You ready? Here we go. We're going to breathe out, and then don't breathe in until you absolutely have to. Anybody not breathe in yet? I'll wait till everybody's had a chance to breathe in. It didn't take me that 20 seconds. It was about 5 for me. That feeling that you get that you must breathe in, you need oxygen, you need air in your lungs, it's a tiny bit like extreme hunger. This overwhelming relief that you feel when you breathe in, that's like the relief of somebody who is really starving, that they would feel when they would say, oh my goodness, I'm never going to be hungry again. But that feeling of not having air and holding it, and what if you couldn't breathe in at that point? It's a little bit like that extreme hunger, that starvation. Like I just can't. There's not enough to eat. There's not enough to breathe. So now, take that new understanding. I know it's short and it's not a complete understanding, but it's just this little taste. And why not try to apply it to your deepest wants and needs? I don't know what your deepest wants and needs are, but they might be something like a home or healing from disease. Or maybe it's enough money to pay the bills. Or maybe it's family unity. Or maybe it's a restored relationship that is just beyond repair. Maybe it's something like security in retirement. Or just plain safety. Maybe it's to be loved. Maybe it's to be in love. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So, may we continue to, I want to hear this the right way, because Jesus said you'll never be hungry, but may we continue to hunger for that bread, knowing that God can fulfill our needs. May we continue to be nourished by the true bread. Amen.